translation and purport by Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. The Lord's activities in association with his different energies should be described, appreciated, and heard in accordance with the teachings of the Supreme Lord. If this is done regularly with devotion and respect, one is sure to get out of the illusory energy of the Lord. Please repeat. Should be described, appreciated, and heard in accordance with the teachings of the Supreme Lord. If this is done regularly, with devotion and respect, one is sure to get out of the illusory energy of the Lord. The science of learning a subject matter seriously is different from the sentiments of fanatics. Fanatics or fools may consider the Lord's activities in relation with the external energy to be useless for them, and they may falsely claim to be higher participants in the internal energy of the Lord. But factually, the Lord's activities in relation with the external energy and the internal energy are equally good. On the other hand, those who are not completely free from the clutches of the Lord's external energy should devoutly hear regularly about the activities of the Lord in relation with his external energy. They should not foolishly jump up to the activities of the eternal energy, falsely attracted by the Lord's internal potential activities like his Rasa Leela. The cheap reciters of the Srimad Bhagavatam are very much enthusiastic about the Lord's internal potential activities, and the pseudo-devotees, absorbed in material sense enjoyment, falsely jump to the stage of liberated souls and thus fall down deeply into the clutches of the external energy. Some of them think that to hear about the pastimes of the Lord means to hear about his activities with the gopis or about his pastimes like lifting the Govardhan hill. And they have nothing to do with the Lord's plenary expansions as the Purushavatars and their pastimes of the creation, maintenance, and or annihilation of the material worlds. But a pure devotee knows that there is no difference between the pastimes of the Lord either in the Rasila or in creation, maintenance, or destruction of material world. Rather, the descriptions of such activities of the Lord as the Purushavatars are specifically meant for persons who are in the clutches of the external energy. Topics like the Rasila are meant for the liberated souls and not for conditioned souls. The conditioned souls, therefore, must hear with appreciation and devotion the Lord's pastimes in relationship with his external energy, and such acts are as good as hearing of Rasa Leela in liberated stage. A conditioned soul should not imitate the activities of liberated souls. Lord Sri Chaitanya never indulged in hearing the Rasa Leela with ordinary men. In the Srimad Bhagavatam, the science of God, the first 9 cantos prepare the ground for hearing the 10th canto. This will be further explained in the last chapter of this canto. In the 3rd chapter, it will be more explicit. A pure devotee of the Lord, therefore, must begin reading or hearing the Srimad Bhagavatam from the very beginning and not from the 10th canto. We have several times been requested by some so-called devotees to take up the 10th canto immediately, but we have refrained from such an action because we wish to present Srimad Bhagavatam as a science of the Godhead and not as a sensuous understanding for the conditioned souls. This is forbidden by such authorities as Sri Brahmaji. By reading and hearing Srimad Bhagavatam as a scientific presentation, the conditioned souls will gradually be promoted to the higher status of transcendental knowledge after being freed from the illusory energy based on sense enjoyment. Thus ends the Bhaktivedanta purpose of the second canto, seventh chapter of the Srimad Bhagavatam, entitled Scheduled Incarnations with Specific Functions. Om Ajnanatimirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurunmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Mandeham Shri Guru Shri Yutapadakamalam Shri Gurum Vaishnavamsha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathan Mitam Tam Sajivam Sadavaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhans Vitamsha E Krishna Karuna Sindho Dina Bandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpataru Bhyascha Kripa Sindhu Bhya Evacha Patita nam pavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namaha. Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Ram Hare Ram 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 Hare Hare Shri Prabhupada Ki Jai. So my humble obeisances to all the devotees assembled here and also who is listening online. I seek all your blessings so I can speak something meaningful on today's verse and in the process purify my heart and my speech. So this chapter is entitled Scheduled Incarnation of the Lord with Specific Functions. So during the chapter, we've been hearing various guna, lila, manvantar, and Avesh Avataras described. And this last verse is actually Falashruti. We find these verses at the end of various chapters where a statement of the benefit attained by reading that particular chapter are described. So in this chapter, this verse also, we have the Falashruti, so one is short. So one who, he says, if this is done regularly with devotion and respect, which means hearing and reading Srimad Bhagavatam, one is sure to get out of the illusory energy of the Lord. So this is the Falashruti. And in this particular context, the text is talking about not hearing generally, but particularly hearing the descriptions of the Lord's activities in association with his external energy. And as we will see in the Prabhupada, we'll actually focus. He takes opportunity to take a shot at people who are prematurely jumping onto the intimate pastimes of the Lord. So as this is the final verse of the chapter, I thought it'd be nice to just recap this particular chapter. So I made a list here. So text 1 to 25 of this chapter, various Leela, Manvantar, Shakti Avatar of the Lord were described with the prime purpose of their descent. Then 26 to 35, various activities of the Lord were described. Then 36 to 38, the incarnations related to Kali Yuga were described. 39, particularly the Guna Avatars were described. Number 40, and 41 spoke about no one can describe the Lord's greatness fully. It is said that even Anantashesh, with his thousands of mouths, could not describe the Lord's greatness. Because the Lord's greatness, in one sense, I suppose you can say, is ever increasing. So as soon as you think you reach the limit of describing his greatness, he's moved on. The greatness has increased. So this is why one can never actually ever get to that point of completing this description of the Lord's greatness. 42 to 46 spoke about the devotees can understand, although it's so difficult, but the devotees can understand. Can anybody remember how? Two words were given. The devotees can understand by surrender and the Lord's mercy. This is how we can understand the greatness of Krishna. 47 spoke about the qualities of Brahman and that they are seen more abundantly in Bhagavan. 48 to 49 describe the inferiority of the parts of jnana and yoga in comparison to bhakti. 50 to 52 spoke about distributing the Bhagavatam, which Brahma says to Narada, that I've explained to you. So Brahma is instructing Narada to distribute the knowledge of Bhagavatam. And of course, we're in the marathon month, so it is our duty for all of us to distribute Prabhupada's knowledge, Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita, whatever, as profusely as possible during this month. And the last verse today is speaking about the importance of understanding the creation pastimes. So that's the summary of this particular chapter. The translation of today's again, just a reminder. The Lord's activities in association with his different energies should be described, appreciated, and heard in accordance with the teachings of the Supreme Lord. If this is done regularly with devotion and respect, one is sure to get out of the illusory energy of the Lord. Shrunvata Shraddaya Nitya. This is how we hear. And then what happens? Mayayatma na muhyati. Muhyati means become illusioned. Na, never become illusioned. Interestingly, the verse itself actually says that one who does this, actually in the word-to-word translation, it says one will never become illusioned. In the translation, Prabhupada says one will get out of the illusory energy. Same thing, I suppose. So in this verse, one particular verse I found interesting was Shraddaya. What would you immediately think when that word is mentioned? Shraddaya? Anybody? Faith, exactly. And if you look at the word Shraddaya, it appears in many, many places in the Bhagavatam. And generally it is translated as faith or deep faith. But in today's verse, Prabhupada chooses to translate this with devotion. Interesting. So you can see that Sanskrit can be so complex. And this is why we have so many translations. For example, Prabhupada often says Bhagavad Gita, so many translations where meanings are so different. Because these words can have so many different meanings. And depending on the realization of the translator, it could just take you to a different direction altogether. So here, I just do some research. So Shraddaya in different places. So here it says with devotion. In Bhagavad Gita 7.22, Shraddaya is translated as inspiration. In 17.1, full faith, which is the normal description, normal translation. And then in Bhagavatam 1.5.26 and 7.13.38, Shraddaya, respectfully. Then Bhagavatam 2.8.4, Shraddaya means in earnestness. Srimad Bhagavatam 3.5.42, Shraddaya means eagerness. So you see so many different meanings of the same word. And of course, a pure devotee, when he's translating, then the meaning is put in perspective properly. So this particular verse is similar to a very famous verse in the first canto, second chapter of Srimad Bhagavatam, text 17. Some words are similar. Shunvatam svakatha Krishna punya shramana kirtana hridyastho yah badrani vidunoti shuvit satam. So Sri Krishna, the personality of Godhead, who is the Paramatma, the super soul in everyone's heart, and the benefactor of the truthful devotee, that translation is saying, cleanses the desire for material enjoyment from the heart of the devotee who has developed the urge to hear his messages, which are themselves virtuous when properly heard and chanted. So same sort of meaning. Cleansing the heart means removing all the anarthas from us, in which case once our anarthas are gone, we are no longer illusioned by the external energy. So it's the same meaning as this particular verse. Part of the purport I took down here from that particular verse, 1:2:17, Prabhupada says, the Lord is reciprocally respondent to his devotees. When he sees that a devotee is completely sincere in getting admittance to the transcendental service of the Lord and has thus become eager to hear about him, the Lord acts from within the devotee in such a way that the devotee may easily go back to him. The Lord is more anxious to take us back into his kingdom than we desire. Most of us do not desire at all to go back to Godhead. Only a few men want to go back to Godhead. But anyone who desires to go back to Godhead, Sri Krishna helps in all respects. So this reminds me of the Bhagavad Gita, Chaturthi Shloki, text 10, isn't it? 10:10. Tesham satate yogtadam bhajadam pritipurvakam dadami buddhi yogam tam yemama upayantite, isn't it? It says that whoever worships me with devotion, I give him the intelligence from within to come back to me. So going into the purport, Prabhupada starts the purport by saying the science of learning a subject matter seriously is different from the sentiments of fanatics. So reading and hearing scrutinizingly. This is the point. By reading the scripture just like a novel is really not good enough. We need to listen to it, hear it, and read it scrutinizingly. Yesterday, the wonderful class that Sachinandan Maharaj gave, he used the term with absorption. So whether we're reading, hearing, or even doing any devotional service, we must do that with absorption. So Radhakanta Prabhu, I came to ISKCON because of Radhakanta Prabhu and hearing his classes weekly in the Radha Govinda Sangha. He taught us how to study scripture. So he says, firstly, read through. Any book you pick up, any scripture you pick up, read through first. First go, just read through. Don't get too hung up on things because you probably will not understand a lot of things. So read through, right? He says there will be certain things because when you don't understand something, rather than getting stuck, carry on. Because the way scriptures are structured is many things are repeated over and over again. We will find that many times we find Krishna saying the same thing in Bhagavad Gita in different ways. Bhagavatam also, we find the same message again and again. So sometimes people think it's like a literary blemish that, you know, if you did it like a composition for an exam in a university and you repeated your points 2 or 3 times, that you'd get a demerit mark for that because you're repeating yourself, right? But here, it's actually, Radhakanta Prabhu explained that this is done purposely by the acharyas because they know that in the age of Kali, the people will be, like myself, dull-minded. So they need to be reminded about the important points again and again, otherwise they will miss them. In the Srimad Bhagavatam, first canto, first chapter, text 10, prayam payusha sabhya kalavashmin yugejana manda sumanda mateyo manda bhagya hyupadeta. Manda. So we all manda, we all sort of slow in take up. So anyway, the first, Radhakanta Prabhu says, read through. Second, he says, then you read with more attention. So now we're talking about absorption. This time around, we make notes and we ask questions to clear our doubts. Third thing is to keep reading. If you read something twice, that's not enough. Keep reading because by reading more and more, we get more and more revelations. We all have that experience. And the fourth and the most important thing is whatever you read, whatever you understood, explain it to people. Repeat it to people. Because when we do that, when we repeat knowledge that's become clear to us, then that knowledge becomes firmly established within our own hearts. Prabhupada continues in the purport, fanatics or fools may consider the Lord's activities in relationship with the external energy to be useless for them, and they may falsely claim to be higher participants in the external energy of the Lord, sorry, in the internal energy of the Lord. But factually, the Lord's activities in relation to the external energy are, and the internal energy are equally good. So Lord's activities are both internal, external. They're both absolute. The Lord is absolute. So his energies, external or internal, they're also absolute. So Parikshit Maharaj shows us by this example that one should hear things step by step, and one should actually hear about the external energies first. Parikshit Maharaj, in the fourth chapter, asked the question in chapter four of this particular canto. He asked the questions. Shri Shri Radha Gokula Nand ki jai, Shri Shri Sita Ram Lakshman Hanuman ki jai, Shri Shri Gonitai ki jai, Jagat Guru Shri Prabhupada ki jai. So give us to show us examples of how to ask questions, and so not jumping straight into the intimate pastimes of the Lord. Parikshit Maharaj is asking questions. What are the questions? He's asking, how does the Lord create, maintain, and destroy the universe? So this was his first question. He never went to the questions about 10th canto. How does he enact primary and secondary creations? How does he expand himself? So these are the questions that he asked. And then, of course, in these chapters we've just read, 5, 6, and 7, Shukdev Goswami is answering these questions, quoting the Brahma Narada Samvad. So this is the example. So we must not jump straight through, and Prabhupada spends a lot of time with this purport talking about that. Prabhupada then continues, on the other hand, those who are not completely free from the clutches of the Lord's external energy should devoutly hear regularly about the activities of the Lord in relationship with it. So people who are not yet cleansed of their material desires, they need to in fact hear more about the external energy of the Lord rather than his intimate pastimes, because that will help them to be cleansed. So the five chapters of the Rasleela, which are chapters 29 to 33 in the 10th canto, these are to be approached only once one is mature in their devotion service. So Srila Prabhupada emphasizes this point about hearing the process of creation in the purport of second canto, chapter 4, text 10, which I find quite interesting. It says, the bona fide spiritual master like Sukadev Goswami does not speak about the Lord only in the matter of his internal potencies, but also explains how he associates with his external potencies. The Lord's pastimes in the external potency are displayed in his activities in Vrindavan. Sorry, the Lord's pastimes in his internal potency are displayed in his activities in Vrindavan. But his external potential work are directed by his feature of Karana Dakshai Vishnu, Garbha Dakshai Vishnu, and Kshura Dakshai Vishnu. Sri Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur offers his good counsel to the interested Vaishnavas when he says that they should not be interested in hearing only about the Lord's activities like Rasleela, but must be keenly interested in his pastimes, in his feature of the Purusha avatars, in connection with the Srishti Tattva, creation functions. Following the examples of Maharaj Parikshit, the ideal disciple, and Shukadeva Goswami, the ideal spiritual master. So Prabhupada continues that they should not foolishly jump to the activities of the Lord's internal energy, falsely attracted by such activities as his Rasa Leela. So, a question to everybody. How many of us heard about the Rasa Leela before we came to Krishna consciousness and heard about the creation and the Purusha avatars? How many of us heard about Rasa Leela? Very few? Okay. How many of us heard about his other leelas, like killing off the demons and all that? Well, before, right? Before we came to. So this is the thing. Most of us, when we are listening to kathas outside. A lot of emphasis is given to the 10th canto. And this is why we all get that information first. And we don't hear about the creation and the three Vishnus. I didn't even know, for example, I don't know if you did, but I had no idea that there were three Vishnus. I only found out after reading Prabhupada's books that there were three Vishnus. We always knew it was Vishnu as one. So these are important things that we need to understand. So it's said that Srimad Bhagavatam is the literary incarnation of Lord Krishna. So the chapters of the Bhagavatam, they represent various limbs of the Lord, as we have heard many times before. So similarly, as we approach the Lordship, the deities, we start our darshan of the deities, or we should. I must admit, I find it quite difficult because I'm just conditioned to just look at the face straight away. But we must practice to actually look at the feet first and then gradually raise our sight upwards towards the lotus face. Similarly, the Bhagavatam is meant to be studied in this way. So the various limbs representing the Srimad Bhagavatam cantos are explained in the Padma Purana. So the first and second cantos are his? Anybody? Lotus feet, exactly. Third and fourth? Thighs. Fifth canto? His navel. Yeah. Sixth canto is chest. Seventh and eighth is arms. Ninth canto, throat. Then the tenth canto is the beautiful lotus face of the Lord. 11th canto is forehead, lalata. 12th canto is his head. So this is how one is supposed to read through. Also, when we think about people who are ignoring everything else in the Bhagavatam and just focusing on the 10th canto and the internal pastimes, so you can see how much they're missing out. So in the second canto, this particular canto we're reading, when you go to the 10th chapter, the very first verse of the 10th chapter, Shuka Goswami gives the various topics, subject matters contained in the Bhagavatam. So this verse goes, Shuka Uvacha, Atra sargo visargascha sthanam poshanam uttaya manvantare shanukatha nirodho muktir ashraya. So these are the 10 subject matters. So sarga visarga. So first is creation. Creation is the first creation by the Supreme Lord when he creates the 16 primary elements. So that's creation. Visarga is the second topic, which is the secondary creation by Lord Brahma. Then third topic is planetary systems, geography of the universe. Fourth is the protection, maintenance by the Lord, or he calls us mercy. Fifth is the creative impetus or desire for creative work. Sixth is the change of manus. The description of all the manus. This is the occupational duties we learn from that. Seventh is the science of God. So the Lord's appearance, activities, and his devotional sort of relationship with his other devotee, with his associates, are in the seventh. This is the seventh topic. Eighth is returning back to Godhead. Ninth is liberation. Tenth is the summum bonum, which is the supreme shelter. So you can see out of the ten, only the seventh topic is about the Lord's internal pastimes. So people who just focus on that are missing out on all. So they're only getting 10% of the topics of the Bhagavatam in that sense. So missing out a lot. So a question to all of you. What is Krishna book? David? It's a summary of the 10th canto. Exactly. Prabhupada's beautiful summary of the 10th canto. So now, we just now heard, but emphatically, Prabhupada and even the different acharyas are mentioning about one should not jump to the 10th canto. So when did Prabhupada compile the Krishna book? Anybody? 1970 it was published, right? And when did Sri Prabhupada translate the 10th canto on the Bhagavatam? 77. 7 years after the Krishna book was published. 7 years after the Krishna book was published, those subjects we were not supposed to listen to were published 7 years before he actually translated. He didn't finish, as we know. He actually translated, I believe, up to the 13th chapter of the 10th canto. And then afterwards, it was his disciples who translated. So he couldn't even finish that. So why did Prabhupada do that? He's saying he shouldn't be touching that subject, but he is publishing that book 7 years before the translation happens, and he is encouraging. In those days, Krishna book was distributed profusely all over the world. Why? Anybody guess why? Yes, Prabhu? Perfect. What's your name, Prabhu? Gopinath. Gopinath. Perfect. Very nice. Very nicely explained. Yes. That because at that time already there was so much going on in terms of these, what Prabhupada calls them, what these speakers who are doing it as a job. Professional reciters. Reciting the 7th and canto and giving the wrong information. So Prabhupada wanted, and Prabhupada of course was in his 70s by this time. He wasn't sure whether he'll be there for the 10th canto. So that people don't miss out the real meaning of the 10th canto, real explanation of the 10th canto, he compiled the Krishna book. And he brilliantly, Prabhupada has compiled it in such a beautiful way that he has combined the beautiful pastime with enough dose of philosophy so that the real meaning is coming out. So, yes, absolutely. Thank you. Thank you for that, Gopinath Prabhu. So, right, that's... because otherwise, people in this right now are completely misguided, and he wanted to make sure that they get the right meaning. So that's why when we read the Krishna book, we see Prabhupada time and again reminds us that these pastimes are for this reason, and he expands philosophically why these things are mentioned. So when philosophy is combined with pastimes. So with philosophy, we understand the Lord's greatness. So when we understand the Lord's greatness, for example, if we hear about the creation and amazing detail that goes through in terms of how Krishna creates this universe and the millions of other universes, billions of other universes, that gives us the idea of greatness of Krishna. And when you have that in your heart, it's difficult to then misunderstand the last lila pastimes because you know that such a great personality would not do something so foolish. So there must be something behind this. So this is why. So philosophy gives us the greatness, and the sweet pastimes gives us the affection. So greatness with affection is a nice combination. So once a scholar came to Radharath Maharaj, and this scholar explained to Radharath Maharaj, he says, I've done a PhD. In what subject? Rasa Leela. This person actually had done a PhD in Rasa Leela. And there was a long discussion, they had a long chat and everything, and Radhanath Maharaj could understand straight away that he hasn't got it. He's done a PhD, but his understanding is completely wrong. Because he was, while he's explaining to Radhanath Maharaj, he was going on about Krishna is a little bit immoral by doing these things, kind of thing. So after he left, Radhanath Maharaj told his disciples that he's done the PhD, but he forgot to ABC. So we've got to go through ABC to get to the PhD. Prabhupada, purport says, topics like Rasa-lila are meant for liberated souls and not for the conditioned souls. So we need to be making sure that we are getting purer before we actually approach these things. We have several times, Prabhupada then says, we have several times been requested by some so-called devotees to take up the 10th canto immediately. But we have refrained from such action because we wish to present Srimad Bhagavatam as a science of Godhead and not as a sensuous understanding for the conditioned souls. So I was listening once that Srila Prabhupada, he was in Chennai, and he was invited for prasadam at a life member's home. And then during the prasadam, the wife of the life member kept approaching Prabhupada, said, Prabhupada, we've got afternoon while you're here. Can you please, after you rest, can you please talk to us about Rasa Lila? So Prabhupada ignored it for a couple of times. And then, but she kept insisting. And after the prasadam, she kept again. So when are you going to do this? Shall we get together, ask my friends to come over at 4 o'clock? So Prabhupada told her that you may be qualified to hear the pastimes of the Rasa Lila, but I'm not qualified to speak them. This is how Prabhupada sort of basically got her out of after the mood of listening to Rasa Lila. Also, I was listening to recently. I'm listening to a lecture by, I think it was Shankarshan Prabhu. Somehow some context came to this kind of subject. He mentioned that even in Prabhupada's times, there was a group of early devotees who've been there in the moment for 1 or 2 years, and they thought now we are completely purified. So they created a group of themselves. There were 10 of them, and they created a group, and they called themselves Gopi Bhav Club. Gopi Bhav Club. And they stopped attending the Mangala Aarti. They stopped attending the classes. The only thing they would attend is the Tulsi Aarti. Why? Because he says, what does the Tulsi Aarti say? Make me my make me, so how does it go? It's not going now. Nijadasi. Karo Nijadasi. So they want to become gopis. They want to become dasis. So attend that, right? And that's all. And they would spend the rest of the day talking and discussing the intermittent pastimes of Krishna. And this is how they thought they would actually make progress. They thought all the morning classes and everything else is for neophytes. Once you're pure, then you just focus on Rasa Lila. And you can see, of course, I didn't say what happened to them, but you can well imagine what happened to them. They're obviously no more around. Anyway, so Prabhupada concludes this purport by saying, by reading and hearing Srimad Bhagavatam as a scientific presentation, the conditioned souls will gradually be promoted to the higher status of transcendental knowledge after being freed from an illusory energy based on sense enjoyment. So, if you summarize in one sentence this particular text, this verse and the purport, read Prabhupada's books regularly, methodically, not jumping over, and seriously, with absorption. This will strengthen our faith, conviction, and understanding. Hare Krishna. Thank you so much, Prabhupada Ki Jai. So, does anybody have any comments, questions, realizations, corrections? Yes, Prabhu.
I just wanted a clarification on one thing, Prabhu. Did you say that the Lord's pastimes with his external energy are more purifying for someone at the beginning stage?
Yes, this is what is explained here in the purport. Actually, they should be, because the reason I explain is it's purifying in the sense that when you understand the greatness, as I mentioned in my talk, when you understand the greatness by understanding his external energy, you understand the power of the Lord. And that gives you in your heart a position for the Lord which is in such a place that you know that it will not be cheap. He will not do anything cheap. Right? So he will not go and dance with others' wives, you know, in the pure sensual sense like that. That you will know if you had understood his greatness with the external energy. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. But behind you, Prabhu.
Hare Krishna, thanks so much for the nice class, Prabhu. A lot of very nice references. I was just curious, so you were mentioning in the beginning it's important to really focus, more on the tattva before we go get to the rasa. But then also a lot of times we hear from devotees that tattva is not a very stable platform. So we want to kind of, to be fixed, we need to get more into the rasa. And so I was just wondering what is if we kind of keep focusing on the tattva, which is a non-steady platform, but then the taste for rasa doesn't really develop so much?
The point you're making is that tattva could make you dry, and rasa is important as well. So yes, absolutely right. So tattva is important, and rasa needs to be there. But the point being made in this text and the purport is that one needs to be sure about one's own eligibility, about listening to certain, there's lots of other rasas that you can relate to, and that will support the tattva. But the deep internal personal association of the Lord with his devotees, those kind of rasas should be done at a later stage when tattva has been firmly fixed, when we are ready, when we are eligible. Then that those things will not bewilder us. Does it make sense?
So tattva over time will develop a taste for us. Is that
the tattva over time will prepare our consciousness for accepting rasa in the right mood.
Okay, and then by listening to rasa, we'll develop the taste.
Exactly. Okay. Exactly. Yes. Right. And ultimately, yes. Ultimately, we get to the stage when we get to the, if we ever do, to the prema stage. Then rasa is our main focus. Then yeah, but that is very very high up.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Anybody else? If not, thank you so much. Granthra Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Srila Prabhupada Book Marathon ki jai.